So he did say in the same answer, he was like, this season feels like he called it a trampoline season. Like last year wasn't that bad, but this is the season where you need to catapult to another level. And I think kind of what he was getting at was a lot of people thought last year was supposed to be that year. And like, no, it just was a year. Like it wasn't overly successful, but it wasn't a failure. But this is the year where you catapult from 48, 46 wins to possibly 52, 53, or something like that. And you've got to make the moves necessary. And that's where it just kind of it kind of goes to, you know, what we started off saying, what you said as well. It's like it feels like this is the time where all in seems a little drastic, but this, like, make the moves. Like, it's time to make the moves.
Well,
It's
at some
all this,
point,
all this cap flexibility that you need so much moving forward. No, make sure you got one guy that you already got locked up in Monk. You got another guy that you got locked up in Sabonis. Keegan is pretty much under club control. You can do whatever you need to do with him. Fox, I think he'll be around as well. We ain't got to worry about all this cap flexibility. You got your top four guys locked up. Go get you a guy. Contract be damned. Extension be damned. Like, go get the guy if you need to. And if it's Kyle Kuzma and you don't need an extension, that's great too. But the time to sit back and be like, well, you know, we want to maintain the flexibility and all that. Man, nah.
And to
No.
be fair, no one said that.
Nope.
He said
Nope.
that 2 years ago.
Exactly. But that, I don't,
At some
I'm not
point,
worried about
though,
that right now.
at some point when you're like, you look at the Knicks, and the Knicks are just an easy example because they're super topical today. The Knicks got where they got last year. They were very good. An exciting team to watch. Had amazingly a Tom Thibodeau team scoring points like that. Of course, that was kind of an anomaly given who their opponent was, but it was like, yo, there's something really fun here with the Knicks. They're right there, but man, maybe a little decline here for Philadelphia. Don't know what their future is. Boy, it sure looks like Dame Lillard got traded to the Milwaukee Trailblazers, but you got that going on. We're not quite good enough to compete with Boston. Not there yet. We're close. We think we're close. But in our heart, like in our deep-rooted closed-door discussions, we know we're not there yet. What can we do? We've got to go all in. They did. Going to get Mikal Bridges, who was one of the most coveted trade targets now for like 3 years, 2 years. That was going, you went all in on this. You have your group now that you believe is going to compete with the Boston Celtics. At some point, Minnesota did it. No matter what people felt about it then, Minnesota went all in. At some point, you've got to go all in. Unless you got 459 draft picks over the next handful of years, like the Oklahoma City Thunder do, and you're already a good team, you've got to make a move that puts you all in. The question is Kyle, that's all in? Okay, where does that get you? Zach LaVine, that's all in. Where does that get you? Brandon Ingram, whatever list you want to run down of other players. What is Monty McNair's definition of this is our move? This is how we compete with Minnesota, with Denver, with Oklahoma City. Show them respect. With Dallas. This is how we do it. At some point, you've got to make that step. Or you've got to make that move. Or you're I'm not trying to make a joke. Otherwise, you are the Portland Trailblazers. Otherwise, you are the team that just you make the playoffs, you smile when you make the playoffs, you lose, and you just do it again next year. Like, Portland never really did anything. Now, maybe they tried and couldn't, but they never actually did anything. And if you want to take that step forward, if you want to compete with those big dogs in the conference, not even across the league, just in the conference, at some point you've got to make the decision to go all in. And there's a sweet spot. Because if you miss it, like it's too late and you got Domas and De'Aaron going the other way in their career. Or I don't know if the Athletic was trying to like insinuate like, you know, De'Aaron's frustration is on the horizon, but like I don't find that realistic.
Right. And that's, and to that point, Slater was like, that's not what was going on. It was just a player trying to keep whatever little control of their contract. Like, we talked about this, I think, on air. It's like, it would make no sense for De'Aaron to be like, yeah, no matter what, I'm staying here for whatever. Like, no, you don't say that. Like, he may feel
no player that. Should ever say that.
Oh, he may believe that. He may feel that way. It benefits him none to go out and say that. The thing that needed to be said was, yeah, you know, I'm playing here, but I want to see what goes on. Simple. That's all that was.
Okay.
VJ in the Matthews Mattress Chatty House, he says, Kuzma is not all in. And here's what I'll say about that. I don't have any problem with that line of thinking. Like, I don't think he's Giannis. But, and I'll relate it back to the teams that everybody loved here, right? Mike Bibby, I don't believe, ever made an all-star team.
He did not.
Doug Christie didn't make an all-star
team. He did not.
Bobby Jackson didn't make an all-star team.
He did not.
But those guys fit what that team was trying to do perfectly, and it elevated that team. And I look at a guy like Kyle Kuzma, and you could even throw, you know, a Cam Johnson or a Finney Smith in there. Those guys may not ever sniff, probably won't ever sniff an all-star appearance. But they, if Monty and Wes and all these guys and Mike Brown get to looking at how this team can be constructed, and those guys fit perfectly, and they say Kuzma, for instance, they say, you know, Kuzma will fit perfect what we need to do. Let's go all in on it. That doesn't mean Kyle Kuzma's the best player in the world, but he is best for what they're trying to do, and we don't want to waste any time. We don't want to mess around. Let's do what we have to do to get this guy in here. That, I think that, to your original point, that could be an all-in move.
Well, let's also be clear as to what all-in could mean. All-in could mean for this offseason.
Mm.
Because to acquire, I think, any player that we've had discussions about because of their, whether it's Zach LaVine and his contract or it's Brandon Ingram and his contract situation.
Yeah.
It's not going to cost you what it cost the Knicks to get Mikal Bridges. Like, you're not giving up every future asset you have to make this move, but it's the move you need to make now, and this could put you in a position, the move to compete with the upper echelon teams in the Western Conference. I don't think that that's a, I think my person, that is a Kyle Kuzma move. That is, it's any of the players that we talked about. Hell, it might be a Cam Johnson move. That might be enough to compete with those teams in the Western Conference. You want to compete with the teams in the NBA? Well, that might be a different move, but we're not there yet. We don't have to have that conversation yet. The Dallas Mavericks got the opportunity to compete against the best team in the NBA because of moves that are a lot closer to Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith than they are to Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, or Mikal Bridges.
And to be perfectly fair,
well, they had made the move for the guy who was at already. But I'd make the argument Sacramento did too.
And that's Domas. I agree. And the thing about that, though, is two things. Number one, I don't think that guy is out there to get you to compete with the entire NBA. Number two,
in a seven-game series.
I disagree a little bit. I think this is their all-in move because they don't have many other moves like that left. Like, what if they traded 13, Harrison, and Herter for Kyle Kuzma? That is, to me, that is their all-in move for the next couple offseason.
It is, but that feels like too much.
I'd go.
I mean, someone's got to come back with Kyle Kuzma. Then someone's got to come back with him. Even the salary, maybe the salary does work, so but
20 or something. It seems like you're taking out a little.
It's like
bit
20
more.
And 17. Yeah.
So one of those two, and one of them might be Sasha.
Remember,
something
Kyle's like super affordable.
Yeah, one of them might be Sasha, like Sasha it's and Harrison or something like that.
Who do you think the first guy that Monty is offering up is? Player.
Sasha. think he's
okay. So after every general manager hangs up on you, like who's next?
Well, I
do
mean,
you think it's Herter or it's Barnes?
Herter.
Yeah,
Herter for sure.
I do too. Yeah.
Yeah, Herter for sure.
And, Mike's gonna and what sure. I mean Mike's by that, make sure
what I mean when I say first guys, I don't think there's one guy in a trade package, right?
Right.
So
no, I understood.
Like I think he looks at it like, all right, we're gonna try and move off of Sasha because
he don't want to be here anyways. Yeah, allegedly, if you believe these this overseas James Ham guy, whoever this guy is.
But we know that's not gonna be enough. So then it's the next question you ask: who would we rather package with Sasha to move on from to get this deal done? I think it's Herter first. I think, to be honest with you, man, I don't know, man. I haven't talked to anybody about this at all. I feel like, and I don't agree with this.
Mm-hmm.
I think Davion is before Harrison.
I think so. I absolutely think you're right. I don't think Mike Brown wants to trade Harrison Barnes.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. And I disagree with that. I'd want to. Not saying that they don't want to hold on to Davion Mitchell, but I'd want to hold on to Davion Mitchell.
I would
and
too.
Keep him here with the Kings.
Yeah, I would too. I would too.
Got a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
A guy, I think it was Greg in the chat during the break, he talks about, he says the Kuzma deal is done. They just can't say it. And we were like, and he was like, yeah, they can't say it because of the draft picks.
I'm not sure why they can't say it, though.
So this is a question I was going to ask. Do you think the NBA might say, like, they got all the faxes or emails of, you know, hey, we've agreed to this deal.
Mm-hmm.
They say, guys, all right, hold off. Let's do it during the show. As opposed to leading up to the show.
No.
You don't think that happens?
No.
I think that'd be...
It's not the NFL, pal.
Well, it's still the NBA.
Yeah, no, it's not a dictatorship like it is in the NFL. I don't think that's the thing.
So if it's done now at 1:11, they might not say, all right, you ain't got to lead up to the 13th pick, but let's wait until the show is on.
No.
You don't think that happens at all?
No.
I don't know if it does at all, but
no.
I think that would be smart, especially with a draft like this.
I don't think it matters.
You mean it don't matter?
Well, why would it matter?
Because now if Washington picks at four, maybe, and this is a bad example because I don't know how rabid the fan base is, but if Washington picks at four, those people are gone. But if you say after the sixth pick, Washington's back on the clock, let's tap back in.
I just don't think that's how the draft works either. I think people are just sitting there watching the draft. I don't think people say, it's 5:42. I'm pretty sure Washington's going to pick next. Let me tune in for 5 minutes and then leave. I don't think that's what they're doing.
I think that happens a little bit more. I mean, I speak to myself. That's what I do, and it's a different
that's
animal.
I'm not a real fan.
Well, that's what I do with the NFL. I don't sit up there and watch the whole first round. When the Niners are on the clock or a couple picks before the Niners are on the clock, I'm tapped in. Did we talk about the NFL? Mm-hmm. And we had a job to do. But we talked about the NFL at all after Trey Lance was picked? That night?
Well, no, but we had a job to
true,
do. Like,
true.
The 49ers were drafting, what was that, third?
Yeah.
Like, that was, yeah, that was
it's,
I was
it's
waiting to
different.
Get Trey Lance's dad on the phone. Shout out Danny in San Francisco.
Trey Lance. Hey, I've got Davion Mitchell's cousin's sister on the line.
Like, what? Like, I'll never, and again, shout out Danny, because it was fantastic, but I'll never forget the text. Hey, Tyrese Halliburton's dad is going to join us. What? Okay. And I obviously it was.
Hey, Keegan Murray's middle school nanny's on the line. Put her through.
It worked out, man. It worked out great, man. Yeah. Shout out Danny in San Francisco.
Yeah. yeah, I guess. Just to answer your question, no, I don't think that's a thing. We'll come back. Will Z joins us. We'll talk free agents with Will Z. He's got a list. He's got it out there on social media. We'll see how he feels about the draft tonight for our beloved Sacramento Kings. That's coming up as D'Lo and Casey continue here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
tourist.
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, man, back here with our man Will Z. Will Z going to be with us tonight at Tom's Watch Bar, right next to the Golden 1 Center, beginning at 5 o'clock. We'll watch the NBA draft together, man. We are going, talking about this yesterday, we haven't done anything together in months, man.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for us to all get together. And
it was before the play-in game, right?
Wasn't it the national championship?
I think the tournament was after that.
Tom's.
We were at Sky River before the Pelicans game.
But we were at Tom's Watch Bar for the tournament. Wasn't that the last time we did anything?
It was before. The NCAA season ends before the basketball season ends.
When did we do the live show?
Did we even have a live show?
I don't remember.
I feel like it was the Friday of the play-in game.
Maybe it was.
Yeah, because I remember Charlie was talking about that the whole time leading up to it. We were doing it the day of the play-in game.
Okay. You're right. I recall. Sure, oh, yes. That's right. Yes, I remember the drama about whether we were going to do the live show, because if there was a game that day, we couldn't do it.
Yeah, oh, and okay. I couldn't watch the game there. Did you stay and watch the game there a little bit?
No, the game wasn't it the next?
No, it was like 5 o'clock or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember. I can't recall. I honest to God.
You knocked it out.
I don't remember. But yeah, that was the No one wanted to watch that crap. No one wanted to watch that crap.
Oh yeah, I had a baseball game to go to that Friday. I remember that.
Will, what do you think happens tonight?
Oh, I don't know. I honestly have no idea. I hope that they trade the pick, but at the same time, I always like getting a rookie because you have them under control for so many years.
Man, that's
so I'm
tough.
Not going to be mad.
I hate the phrasing of that.
I know.
Got them under control. But yeah. You're right.
Do you think
it's something? Yeah.
No, I was going to say, do you think? I feel like the time for that. If you get somebody that's impactful or whatever, that's all good. But the time for that is, I'm not worried about that. You've got all your best players. You got four really good players pretty much under club control contract-wise. You know, you got to figure out what you're doing with De'Aaron, but I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. Like, you're set. It's time to go get somebody. It's time to elevate this team. And I feel like, and tell me what you think, Will, the 13th pick, having that 13th pick to use as an asset is maybe the strongest asset that you have to being able to acquire somebody that could take you to another level.
Yeah, I think so, especially because it's the only time I think that they can really pair up assets. Because after the draft, you're talking pretty much just either way future picks or a combination of any players, Davion, Herter, Barnes, Sasha, whatever it may be. So it's kind of this is your chance to go out and do something before you lose that asset. Mm-hmm. So it feels like that's probably going to happen. I don't know how big of a move it is. I think my first thought after seeing the news last night was, well, the Kings aren't going to do something huge scale anymore, because that's just, they can't really do that. I know Bridges was probably the most attractive person on the trade market. But my hopes of like a Brandon Ingram trade, a Jeremy Grant trade, a Lauri Markkanen trade, like those are all pretty much gone. So at this point, I feel like I am expecting more of a move along the lines of, like, I don't know, Isaiah Stewart, Dorian Finney-Smith, like someone who can come in and start but isn't taking over one of your top three positions or top three players on the team.
What was it? Is it the sheer scale of what we saw last night you think might influence the market a little bit as it pertains to, because you mentioned Markkanen, you mentioned, you know, some big names right there. Do you think that's because like the market might be a little shaken for guys like that after the Bridges trade last night?
Probably. I think so. I think Bridges, though, is under contract for 2 years, which a lot of these players aren't, so that inflates it a little. But again, you're competing with so many different teams for these top-notch players that it's hard to do that when you don't have five first-round picks that you can throw at anyone.
You know, one of the things that I've been reading a little bit that's, I ain't gonna lie to you guys, it got me a little concerned. Got me a little stressed out a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I don't like this. I've been hearing Jeremy Grant is probably on the move, right? He's probably leaving Portland. And you know who I keep seeing connected, like with articles and stuff like that?
Dallas?
Yeah. I don't like that dog.
That'd be good for them.
I don't like that dog. So I bring him up to say, I wonder if the Kings, because I can't imagine Dallas has a whole lot to give in that trade. I wonder if Jeremy Grant really is available. Kings need to try and, you know, top whatever deal is possibly being.
I believe
talked
it's
about there.
$4 billion left on his deal.
Yeah,
somewhere in the vicinity of.
I got 20 on it.
You got 20 million? Well, no, that, check, that checks out. I'm going to get the exact number. I feel like he's 1 year into a five-year deal, but that could that could be 100% wrong. It is, yeah. Yeah, he's due 29.7, 32, 34.2 with what looks to be a player option in 2027 when he's 33 years old. At $36.4 million, those are good numbers. I'm not trying to be funny or play into the bit here. Those numbers are going to look different relatively soon. Yeah. Like those numbers are going to look a little bit different.
When would you say it would start looking different?
2 years.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Not obviously not this season. Not next season. The season after. So he'll be due $34 million that year. That number is going to look different. But at the same time, I'm of the belief De'Aaron Fox will have signed a contract extension by then. Mm-hmm. He'll probably be making in the vicinity of $50 million by that point. Mm-hmm. Domas will be making 40. He'll be nearing the end of that deal. And Keegan will make whatever his extension money is,
25.
Which I assume Keegan, Keegan is a max extension guy, right?
Yeah, I would think
like
so.
He's essentially signing the Scotty Barnes deal.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, and this is the other question that needs to be asked, that people have asked, that I don't think is an issue. And if it's not an issue, Jeremy Grant, Zach LaVine, any of these people should be coming here. You're going to have to go on a luxury tax. That's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not my money like you always say, but – like, yeah, that's what you're going to have to do. You can't skate around this.
Can we state just one thing for the record? There's no indication that Monty won't or that Vivek won't go into the luxury tax.
Right.
You'll have to forgive Vivek if he looks at Buddy Hield and, you know, Marvin Bagley and goes, yeah, I'm not going into luxury tax for this group.
Right.
But that doesn't mean he won't.
Right. Right. 100%. 100%. So there. But my whole thought, and I'm not breaking news here, but there's no way around it. If you want to be good, if you're trying to put together a good team, you're going to go into the luxury tax. So at that point, in my opinion, you're not tripping off that much off the contract situation. You're trying to be a good team. And I think that's what good owners and good teams do. They don't worry about that stuff too much. They figure out how they can be good on the court and then let everything else fall into play.
William, who's your you've released a couple of different names here on IG, Twitter, the Will Z big board. Who has your eye? Now, these aren't drafts. This is free agency in trades. Who's the apple of Will Z's eye right now?
I'm going to get in trouble for this one.
Uh-oh.
Any guesses?
Zach?
Nope.
I don't think
Julius Randle, the idea.
Oh, yeah, jump Will. You're
going to get in trouble for that.
Yeah, leave
me
alone.
We won't be the ones to jump you because we agree with you. But, everybody else will. Yeah, we're a three-man wolf pack.
Yeah, you might want to change those plans showing up at Tom's Watch Bar tonight.
I know. Yeah. All right, let's talk through.
Watch your back. So,
before everyone gets on me, which they probably already are.
Me, Will, and KC standing back to back to back guarding each other because of this Julius Randle take.
Yep. The combo of them, of Julius Randle and Sabonis, would be so unique in terms of they both have the ability to score, rebound, and distribute. There were seven players last season that averaged at least 19 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists. Two of them were Sabonis and Randle. There it is, Kyle. So having the two of them together on the court, I think just would give them an offense that's very difficult to stop because you have two players that can do so much at any time. Pair that with the ability of Fox and Monk to go and get their shots or work off the pick and roll. It just opens up so much in my mind. If you look at Randle's numbers, I mean, last season, 24 points, 9.2 rebounds, 5 assists. He shot 31.3% from 3, which isn't great, but 51.4% from the corners. So if he can kind of get his looks in the spots that he likes. I would have questions about defense, but I'm always going to have questions about defense. And I'm like, Kenny, I think the Kings need offense with their main move and supplement it with defensive moves. So that's one of the reasons that I really like the idea of Julius Randle. I think he's affordable, $28 million this year, so you have the contracts to go get him. It doesn't gut your roster like a LaVine trade would. So just something that I like the concept of. Probably not going to happen, but that's all right.
I'm all for Julius Randle. I mean, that's high-end talent. I want to bring in as much high-end talent as I possibly can if I'm Monty McNair. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that one. What do you think? One of the other options I saw was Dorian Finney-Smith, and he's somebody that we haven't talked a lot about. But with the Nets kind of looking like they're ready to, you know, move off of any and everybody,
go to the G League at this point.
Seriously, what do you think about what do you like about Finney-Smith, and what do you dislike about him?
I don't know. I have concerns over his offense. He shoots well in the restricted area, 64.1%, but he doesn't shoot well from pretty much anywhere else on the court. 34.3% in the floater area, 22% in mid-range, 34% from the corner, 35 above the break. He doesn't really give. He had 1.6 assists last year, 4.7 rebounds, which is fine. I think you're looking at him as a defensive guy, but I don't know if he's the one I would choose. I think there are better options out there. Obviously, there's more competition for those better options, but someone I really like is like Najee Marshall, right? Like, I'd rather throw the full MLE at him rather than trade for Finney-Smith, but I think that he could just do a little more supplementary offense, and I don't know if Finney-Smith could provide that. If you're getting him with someone like Cam Johnson, that's intriguing because I still like Cam Johnson for this team too. I think he can be a great shooter around Fox and Sabonis.
Do you like the idea of Cam more than Dorian?
Yeah, easily.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. I thought so. Okay.
I don't know if Cam is. It feels more like a lateral move. If you swap out Barnes for Cam, I don't know if that's enough to improve. It feels like you're just kind of switching out players instead of adding. So depends if you can get Cam and keep Barnes. That'd be really interesting, I think. Have one of them start and the other come off the bench. But again, I don't know if Barnes would take that bench role at this point.
Well, sometimes change is good. Also, Harrison's a professional.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely believe Harrison will do what Mike Brown thinks is best for the team.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's starting, he's going to start. If it's coming off the bench, he's going to come off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
That does not strike me, especially since arguably, maybe inarguably, your third best player came off the bench this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is a team that needs to, and that's another component we really haven't discussed in all of this, because we've talked about all in, we've talked about these different guys. There could be a situation where this team's bench, this team's depth is what gets them mm-hmm. where we want to go. And if mm-hmm. it is acquisitions like Cam Johnson and or Dorian Finney-Smith, maybe those go Maybe those go just as far as acquiring a Kyle Kuzma or Brandon Ingram or something along those lines.
Yeah.
There's multiple ways to attack this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
As the Mavericks showed us, by the way. This is what the Mavericks did last year.
I mean, look at what they did. I mean, P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford aren't like these prize trading people or free agents or anything else like that. But they absolutely helped change the course of their season last year. So, you know, be aware of any of these moves today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Tomorrow or the next day. Yeah,
it just feels it feels like a move needs to be made in the respect of, like you just laid out, we got to bolster this roster a little bit. Another thing Anthony Slater said at the end of that interview yesterday is they just seemed a little thin towards the end of the year. And that's because they lost two players. And it was like, just ain't got enough no more. Wow. We can't have that.
Right.
We can't have
all the players.
Go ahead.
All the players that were brought in to replace those injured players were all defense first guys. That's where you really saw them struggle with bench scoring after Monk went down, not just because Monk is able to score off the bench, but because you're bringing in guys like Davion. Trey Lyles will get you 10 or so on any given night, but he's not going to go for 15, 20 on multiple games.
Right.
So it's like they need more scoring options off the bench, or at least guys that are more well-rounded who can do a little bit of both. And that's where, again, I'm hesitant on the Finney Smith, because I don't want them to have Davion, Finney Smith, and just all these defensive guys. Alex Len is another one where he played great at the end of last year, but you're getting 4 to 8 points from Alex Len, and that's just tough to put having to make your starters score 80-plus points every game.
We haven't talked since Malik Monk Day and the Malik Monk signing. Do you think Malik is starting next year?
I don't know. I think it depends a lot on what they do with Herter. I don't know. I still like him off the bench, I think, in terms of the energy and the role. And I like Herter. I still like Herter with this team and Sabonis. I think the two of them pair so well together. I'm going to be hurt if they trade Herter. I'm just preparing myself emotionally.
Yeah, Will, you might want to brace for that one, buddy. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not like advocating.
We're just reading the tea leaves.
It feels like Kevin Herter's
the
odd man out, if you will.
Yeah. So I think it really depends on who they bring in. I love Keon in the starting lineup because he brings a defensive mindset into that starting lineup. It balances things out when you have, especially with Barnes in there, you balance out the offense on both the starters and the bench. So having all of your scorers start together may be tough, and having all of your defenders come off the bench may be tough. So I like how it kind of balances between the two if you have Keon in there.
Will, anyone else you want to talk about? Anyone else you got your eye on? Any other free agent / trade scenarios we should keep our eye on over the course of the next 5 days or so?
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by Jalen Smith. I don't know what the Pacers' plan is. It feels like they have a bunch of bigs. I wouldn't be surprised. I love Obi Toppin for the Kings. Like, he would be absolutely perfect for the Kings.
I think the Pacers love Obi Toppin for the Pacers too.
Exactly.
I could be wrong on that, but it feels like they do.
No, it feels like it. So that's why I'm intrigued to see what happens with Jalen Smith. He has a player option of $5.4 million. So I don't know if he'll opt into that or if he can get some MLE money. Mm-hmm. But he just shoots well from everywhere. Can shoot the three, 47% on his wide open threes. So just a backup, either a backup big 4 or 5, or someone you can slot into that starting four spot and slide Keegan down to the three.
Yeah, man, I like what he brings to the table as well, man. And that would be a real savvy pickup in the off season if they could get that done. So I'm like you. I'm not sure what's going to happen. But I'm looking forward to tonight, man. I hope there's some type of fireworks, man. Something. Maybe that's what I'm looking forward to. I want to see some things happen. I want to see some moves made. I want to see some aggressiveness from the Kings and Monty McNair. But like I always say, it takes two to tango. They could be as aggressive as they want to be. If the other team isn't trying to do a deal, it won't really matter. So,
yeah.
All right, Will.
Yeah.
You told us Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith are coming. That's how I'm taking it. Will Z reported it. That's perfect. The move. And Julius Randle. We got your back tonight. We got your back tonight when the Julius haters come looking for you.
We riding with you, dog.
The Knicks, though, have definitely become the team to watch over the next few days because of that massive move that they made with Mikal Bridges. Great stuff, Will. As always, my friend, we will see you tonight at Tom's Watch Bar.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to it.
All right. Take care, Will. That's our man, Will Z. Head over to willzstats.com. You can see his whole list of free agent targets, trade targets, all of that good stuff. We're going to talk with Bryant West in the third hour of the show, the final hour of the show. And I couldn't help but notice the face Kyle Mattson made when we mentioned the potential of Keegan Murray's contract in the next few years.
What face would he make?
Well, he made a face as if he didn't agree with it.
Oh, so he said he's going to pull up on us. That's what he said. He said he's going to pull up on us.
All right.
The hell doesn't he agree with?
Well, we'll let him explain. Poor Kyle can't go home because we got to go to Tom's Watch Bar afterwards. So he's just hanging around the studio. So we'll just drag him back in here.
Just hanging around Sacramento.
Just make him work some more. That's what we do. That's what we do.
Oh man, the Julius Randle thought. I like his talent. Some people talk about the fit. What do you think about the fit? Him and Sabonis, is the floor spread enough for a guy like that? I really fell in love with the way Jay Triano was putting four guys out and having Sabonis be the inside hub of the offense. And I kind of don't want that to leave, right?
Like, you probably can't.
Yeah, I don't know if you could do that with Julius Randle. I don't know if you, a couple other guys, like when they talk about adding a center and making Sabonis the four and all this other stuff, like that probably goes away. And then I don't know what that looks like for De'Aaron Fox or Malik Monk or anybody like that. I really want that guy that can shoot the ball, that can space the floor.
You know who I forgot about? This isn't really Kings related, but like there's opt outs and all of that stuff, deadlines coming up, there's contract guarantees coming up, like with Chris Paul. What's D'Angelo Russell doing? My God.
No, I try not to ever do it.
What's D'Angelo Russell doing? Doesn't he have an opt out?
He does have an opt out. And we all assume like he was gone. We talked about the articles with the Magic and stuff like that, but
but still, if the Magic have their eye on someone else.
Yeah, D'Angelo still hasn't officially done anything.
Right. That's what I mean.
He could opt in, so to speak. So,
And I don't think he has to do anything. Like, you don't opt into a contract, you just opt out. Like, he just doesn't have to do anything.
Right. Yeah, if you let that time go and you didn't.
Yeah,
you didn't opt out.
You're in. You're getting paid. Salute.
Wow, now this is getting ridiculous. All I did was do this.
Well, Kenny broke the microphone. Stand. Let's get Pablo in here. Always good to hear from our man Pablo. 916-909-1320. Life of Pablo. What's happening, man?
Hey, fellas, I'm in.
Great to hear from you, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I'm always here, but I don't always call in. But, you know, this is a special day, so I thought I'd try to get in. Thanks for taking my call.
Always. Yeah. Well,
hey, check it out. I have two trade targets and one pick that I want to share with you.
Okay.
So the one's a low-key trade target, and the other one's a big swing, all in, like you all talking about. And the draft pick is kind of a – I think he's in the lottery too, but his name is Mattis Bouzelas. I was checking out some of his videos. He's 6'10". He could, you know, hand the ball, drive to the hole. He's got a really all around game, and I don't know what his defense looks like, but he looks like a really good player that would fit in. Now my low key trade target, you know, we're talking about Washington and you know, Kuzma, but for Loki, I'm thinking Denny Azia because he's like 6'9", and he could do it all too. And he has. Yeah. I saw him D up Giannis, and he played. He blocked you on the shot, and you know he played pretty good. And he's like a younger version of Harrison, you might say.
Yeah, I think I think he's a name that Kings fans have always kind of liked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like his game. Like his game, man. And
he'd
if
be
he was,
a solid addition.
Yeah. If he was involved in the deal, that'd be a good look. That'd be a real good look.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell Washington's doing.
I know, yeah, I don't either. I know what they should be doing, but yeah. We'll see.
Yes, see Brooklyn. Like that's probably what you should be doing.
Did you see Matt Ishbia tweeted?
No.
This is crazy. NBA draft night is the best. Everyone talking about the drama and storylines. Some are right and some are just wrong. My turn. Phoenix loves Kevin Durant and Kevin Durant loves Phoenix. And we are competing for a championship this year because we have the team to do it. Gotta love draft night. Go Suns. Why are you tweeting, sir?
Okay.
I always do this, but can you imagine if Vivek said, we love Kevin Huerter. And Kevin Huerter loves us. Go Kings.
Sir, did you just equate Kevin Huerter to Kevin Durant? Sir, as Jesse would say, take a lap. Take a lap over to Tom's Watch Bar. That's what we'll be tonight for the NBA draft. We hope that you could come hang out with us. Tom's Watch Bar right next to the Golden One Center. Come hang out with D'Lo, Casey, Kyle Madsen, Jesse. Charlie O is coming out.
Yeah, Charlie.
Charlie's got the company credit card, baby. Drinks on Charlie tonight at Tom's Watch Bar. We'll come back with more. Kyle Madsen will explain himself next on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. I think I, in fact, did remove them Smash Them Boys hoodies.
Aw.
But luckily for you, I can still order them and get them delivered to your house.
Not necessarily necessary.
We have some great gear. I need to take all these Drake Bars things off. Too,
oh, that's cold.
I had a certified Drake Bars tri-blend on, and I was like, oh, my God, what if somebody sees this?
We'll do it like the fans. We'll buy it, and then we'll burn it after.
Wow.
Certified what?
Wow. Just another thing we just throw out there. Hey, we believe it. Yay. Just throw anything out there. Boy, you guys are gullible. You guys, people hop on anything.
Streets are saying. So,
well, first of all, pause. Second of all.
Yeah, tread lightly there.
Yeah. Second of all, what are you talking about?
Oh, you know, we had that discussion. Like, oh, I'm just going to throw this out here about Drake. No proof, no validity to it. And everybody, yay.
Didn't Drake do the same as well, though?
But how do you know there's no?
And yeah, they talk crazy about him.
But here's the difference. There is no evidence whatsoever that Kendrick did anything Drake suggested.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take much of an internet search to have like, I don't think he is, but there's that. That's the difference.
All right.
It's the difference. Like you can feel however you want to about it. It's the difference.
Like I asked Kamara. I mean, all that stuff is just like, and that's all part of the game. That's fine. Like, I don't have a.
Yeah, the fact that we're fact-checking beefs now is funny.
Well.
Ain't nobody ever been able to tell me if Pac hit Faye.
Hold on. And do you like that? You've never liked that.
No, I've never liked that song because of what happened at the end of all of that.
And I don't think I've never liked that because if you're not telling the truth about that, that was kind of foul to allude to that. I haven't liked that. I do know all the words of the first verse. It's like I know a lot of the words to not like us.
Yeah, well, I heard a TikTok mix where someone took that first verse and put it on the Not Like Us beat.
It's fire.
It kind of goes.
Man.
I do know. It goes.
I know that first
I will not be partaking in this, but it kind of goes.
Word for word, damn near. I do know that first verse. But, I mean, that was a lot for if it wasn't true. That was a lot. You can't be saying that stuff.
Well, yeah, especially, like, she's a public figure, too. Like, that's a.
Yeah. So I kept the same energy with this. Like, I think Euphoria is fine. The subject matter of Not Like Us, I don't think that's necessarily fair. think that's a little too far. If it's not true.
Hasn't stopped America from singing it.
I know.
The wild thing is, what was it called? The Heart Part 6?
Yeah.
Was Drake that coming out and be like, rattled. I didn't talk to Millie Bobby Brown.
That
like,
boy
what?
Was
what? What are you talking about?
That man was rattled.
So why do you hate Keegan Murray?
Oh, man, it's crazy, bro. That's crazy. Yeah, so we need to know about this.
We just caught out of the corner of my eye that Kyle Massey hates Keegan Murray?
No, it's not that. I was a little surprised that you guys were both like, oh, yeah, you're going to give him 5 years and $270 million.
Well, it wasn't.
Like, if you had to do that today, right now, you would? It's a no-brainer, slam dunk, that's going to happen?
It kind of feels like that. Like that's the way of. It kind of feels like that's the game. Yeah. Like
interesting.
It going into his second contract, and I guess it's not me or you or KC. It's
Jesse,
Monty. Well, Monty and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see Keegan Murray's future as? Like, what is he to this basketball team?
Sure.
And if you can answer that, like he's a pillar. He's a pillar to what we're building, which we believe is an NBA champion or an NBA championship
contender.
Contender. Thank you. Then yeah, that's what you do.
Right, but
and 270 is not the real number, by the
first
way.
First of all, I say this from a place of knowing that they don't have to figure that out right now. He will have another season, and maybe he takes a significant leap this season and he's averaging 20 plus a game and he looks like, oh, this is he's the second, it's De'Aaron Fox and Keegan Murray is going to be the second guy with the starting group, and then, you know, Malik Monk is going to be there, but Keegan Murray looks like for sure an all-star caliber player. That's what it is, because Toronto gave Scotty Barnes 5 and 270 because he's their guy. Like they've made it clear this is the guy that we are building around 100% for sure. They've seen enough. I need Keegan Murray to do more before I'm ready to throw a max extension at him. If he comes out, like Kenny, you and I have talked about this before. Like there needs to be a level of aggressiveness from him on offense, I think, if he's going to maximize who he's going to be as a player. I still believe in him. That's why I'm not in the, oh, trade Keegan Murray today. I'm not in that camp. I was a little surprised that you guys both just went, oh yeah, well yeah, you're obviously giving him a max extension in a year's time. When I don't know that I've seen enough yet to feel good about that. Like if he comes out this year and has the exact same season where he might go for 35 one night and then go for 7, 9, and 10 the next three nights, I don't know that the Kings are going to be incentivized to give that guy a max contract.
So here there's a couple things going with this situation for me. Number one, the things you're saying, I understand what you're saying. We've talked about these things, like you just said.
Kenny also hates Keegan Murray.
That's not true. That is.
Well, yeah, he's been trying to trade
that
him
is
for
completely
like 6 months, like
not factual. Yeah. Do not listen to the media. So there's that. But the first part is that's just kind of the way the contracts go. Like he's a top four pick who has been pretty good in his first two seasons, and if he just does the exact same until that contract extension is he's eligible for that, then you're probably gonna have to give him that.
Does he get so I'm trying to find like a comparable, because it feels like it's a max or it's either nothing or like this guy's just like the kid in Washington we were just talking about, Denny
Abdija.
He got $55 million. He was 4 years, $55 million. That's what he got on his rookie extension. Devin Vassell, on the other hand, got up to $146 million. So that there's like this the line between a max contract and everything is like super thin, and it's tough to decipher like what's what. Cole Anthony signed for $39 million. I mean, like the fall off is steep. Then you got Jaden McDaniels, who signed for 136. It's not a max. It's high money. Mm-hmm. So again, it's the difference is so steep between who signs max contracts, mm-hmm. and then it really falls off to it's either a max contract or it's not a contract.
And the other thing I was going to say about that is they gave Scotty Barnes that money. We talked about it at length yesterday. Number one, because that's just kind of what has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like a really good young player, like really, really good young player.
Scotty Barnes or Keegan?
Scotty Barnes.
Okay.
Both. We're talking Scotty Barnes.
Yeah, okay, got it.
But we talked about it yesterday. I don't think Scotty Barnes, like if the Raptors get to the point where they are a championship contender, mm-hmm. I believe there's going to be a player better than Scotty Barnes on that team.
I agree with you.
So, but it right now it don't matter because you got to give him that, right?
Right.
I look at Keegan Murray in the last month of the season, and that doesn't include a 25-point performance against the Utah Jazz. But it includes all those games are when Malik Monk was out.
Mm-hmm.
He went for 16.9, basically 17 points a night.
Okay.
And 6.5 rebounds a night.
Yep.
We talk about Scotty Barnes, and situations are different, teammates, mm-hmm. the team situations or whatever. Scotty Barnes went for 19, I'll give him 20, 20, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Keegan is outside of the assists. It's not that far off from that. Like, mm-hmm. it's not drastic.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy that I bring up who, once again, situations are different, what you're asked to do is different and all this other stuff. People are ready to give $30, $35 million to OG Anunoby for 14.7, 4 rebounds and 2 assists. Now, obviously, he's one of the top defenders in the league, but we also think Keegan Murray is a really good perimeter defender, one of the top defenders in the league. So all that is not to bring down those other guys, but as an advocate as to why
mm-hmm.
you would maybe give Keegan that type of contract extension.
Sure. Mm. I see. All right.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.